Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kimberly, and I am here hosting Scotty's call tonight, Prayers for 45. We're so excited to have you here on the call, and I just want to let you all know that Scotty will be returning on Sunday. He is in the air traveling as we are on the call tonight, so we wish him traveling safety and safe home. So with that, I'm going to bring on our first prayer warrior, who will be Betty, and she is going to open us with a praying for our president tonight. Hello, Betty, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome, awesome. I was just reading some Psalms. If anybody wants to order, you guys know I like to pray the scriptures. Open up to Psalm 140, those of you who have your Bibles right there, and I'm just going to read a little bit because it reminds me so much of what our president is going through right now. It says, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence, who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle, do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud." It just so reminds me of the battle that's ongoing for our poor president, who from the day he got elected had to face so many people opposing him and are trying to keep him from really getting things done. So everybody's ready. You guys all ready to bow your heads with me?
Absolutely, Betty.
All righty. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we lift up our president to you, Lord. Your scriptures clearly teach that you are the one that raises up leaders and that you bring them down as well. And you have raised up Donald Trump for a time such as this, for this very moment in time. These moments right here are when he was needed, Lord, in order to do your work. But he can't do that, Lord, unless you free him from the snare of all these people who are opposing him, Lord. There are evil forces in this world that want to oppose the your agenda, Lord. And so I pray that you would free him from each and every spirit that is in opposition to him, all the spirit of evil, everything that is going on, those that want to keep us people oppressed, all of the schemes of the enemy that have been going on for years, decades, Lord, possibly centuries. We pray that you would loosen the grip that they have in every area, in our three-letter agencies, in the drugs that are on the streets, in the human slavery and traffic that is going on, in the taxes, in our currency, everything, Lord. Free us from those bonds. Enable President Trump to be able to enact laws that will be for the benefit of the citizens, to restore our republic to being a republic and to not be enslaved, whether it's the census question or whether it's going back to the gold standard, Lord, whether it's restructuring the IRS or cleaning up the swamp, draining the swamp, Lord, the three-letter agencies, toppling CEOs of companies, Lord, and putting in new people into government, whatever it is that is required in order to reset the rule of law, Lord, and get us back to where we need, would you enable our president to be able to do that? I know he has a lot on his plate. He's got the weather that's going on right now in Louisiana and this whole census thing and the insurance and Obamacare and all of that. He's got a lot on his plate, Father. And so I pray that you would, A, anoint him with strength to be able to focus and concentrate. It's not like he's a spring chicken, Lord, but we are so grateful to see the strength that he's been able to exhibit, that he can stay up, that he's keeping up. We don't see him nodding off. We see you before us, a man who has physical strength. And so we pray that you would continue to give him the physical strength and mental acuity that he needs in order to be able to stay calm as he's negotiating. I thank you and know that you have been preparing him all of his life to be able to do all of these negotiations. He's got good people skills, Lord. People don't think that he does, but I think he's got great people skills when he's dealing one-on-one with people. He knows how to deal with the media, and so I thank you so much that you have given him the successes that you have given him so far. We've been able to talk to North Korea, and I pray that you would be able to continue to give him successes with all of the leaders as he deals with China and trade negotiations. Give him the words, Lord. Give him the savvy. Give him the insight. I pray that you would surround him with capable advisors, with policy and finances to be able to give him good advice. And then, Lord, I pray that your spirit would simply work through him, work through his mouth, and that you would help him to just bring it all together and bring those negotiations for our benefit and for the benefit of all the parties involved. Father, I pray that you would protect his marriage. I know so often it's such a temptation with men in power, but I pray that you would protect their marriage. I pray for his wife, Melania, and that you would help her as she plays her role, and that he would be a support for her and that she would be a support for him. Protect all of his children. I know that the entire family is under threat, but I pray, and they are so very important to him, Father, his family, his children, his grandchildren, protect them, but just build this powerful hedge of protection around the entire family, keeping them safe. Thank you for bringing him through the 4th of July celebrations. We know they had the barrier up so that we would keep him safe. There were threats. There were planes flying all over. So, Lord, whatever was going on that we didn't hear about, I thank you for keeping that at bay. And so we lift up everything that you have called Donald Trump to do and ask that you would give him success and moving forward as he begins to start to prepare for the upcoming elections in 2020, Lord. I pray that you would give him the strength to be able to get through all of that, because that's going to require a whole lot of strength. So begin to prepare him already for that. We thank you for how you have been using him. Continue to use him to rid this land of the evil that has so encroached and taken over our land. Free us from the bondage that this country, this world has fallen under, Lord. Cut those strings and enable our president to do that. We lift him up to you in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you so much for doing our opening prayer and covering our president on every single level that we could possibly think about. That is so awesome. I love praying for our president.
Yeah, important.
Very, very important. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go to our next prayer warrior, who is Pastor Joseph. Pastor Joseph, can you hear me? Are you there?
I sure am. How are you doing, Kimberly?
I'm good. I'm really good. Hey, I have a question for you before you start praying.
Sure.
You know, I was really searching the scriptures today, just studying the anointing of God. And I know that we are in agreement on the fact that God has divinely anointed our president. Can you share a little bit about that with our listeners so that they understand what we mean when we thank the Lord that he has anointed Donald Trump for such a time as this?
Sure. I think as we look at scripture and specifically with reference to Darius and with Cyrus, two rulers that we can see in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, men that were absolutely not aligned with God initially. And even Xerxes, the king of the Medes, Medes and Persia, that Esther was taken by men that absolutely didn't have any inclination towards the things of the kingdom or righteousness, and even involved with their pagan religions, but whose hearts weren't corrupt. They were just about their own business and even following within their father's, their bloodline to come into nobility or royalty. But their hearts were inclined to righteousness. There was an inclination within them to do what was good. When the opportunity of God's appointment presented itself, the invitation to righteousness came by his Spirit. In the Old Covenant, a coming on, the Spirit would come to a person, and if they gave place to him to move, he would come upon them and give them strength or wisdom or whatever the anointing would need be at that time to fulfill what God would have placed them in that position for. Then they would find power to effectuate whatever it is God was intending. Scripture says that he directs the hearts of the kings like the rivers. And so we even see enemies of the chosen, of the Israelites, being used by God. Even in what they would have intended to do in wickedness, God would use to bring his people into freedom, into being awake. An example of that would have been Pharaoh when Israel was enslaved by Egypt. Pharaoh absolutely resisting and refusing to submit to God or to his servant Moses. And Moses came with truth and said, listen, this is what's going on. This is why. If you would do this, God would bless you and move in this way, and your people would, you know, be able to continue in covenant, because the previous Pharaoh with Joseph had been friends, and there was a covenant they had together, but the new Pharaoh and his people forgot those covenants and turned to fear when the Israelites were blessed in their number. But looking just how God has moved, that anointing as it comes on a called one in authority, then they're able to do things that wouldn't have been possible. And so we see in the new covenant, even as Trump has been an absolute underdog, someone that no one in any way would have ever perceived as successfully, not just becoming president, but making it through the journey of debate and polls and the whole thing. They laughed and scoffed at him right up until the night of the victory, when the anchors, as we all recall, were dumbfounded and weeping because an impossibility became possible. And so with that yielded surrender that he's given to God, God has done things that were impossible that haven't even been seen in history, with the turning of economies and employment and even in national view with the fulfillment and starting of a clock with the setting up of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and the embassy being placed there, which other presidents on both sides of the road attempted and talked about, but because of Trump's surrender to Messiah as Savior and then making declaration publicly of it, God is, the scripture says, if you'll declare me publicly before men, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. And Trump has, and even his weaknesses, and we could argue all day long, well, he's done this and this kind of corruption. We know this about him, and he's got this sin in his life. But, Jesus turned to the Pharisees with the woman caught in adultery and said to them, you are without sin, cast the first stone. And we know from that story, if you're familiar with it, that they all dropped their stones one by one because they're all guilty of the same sin. And so we could use all of the things about what's wrong with him, but We've all got that going on. What the question is he called by God? Is God's favor on him? And has he done things in declaration and in his commitment to us that are in alignment with God's plan? And we'd have to say yes, that even though he'd be a sinner like every one of us sin every day, you know, he's covered by that blood, and we see a power moving in and through him that isn't of men, because no man could do what he's doing. So, yeah.
That's absolutely, absolutely right. And that's why we continue to speak the anointing on him in our prayers.
Yeah.
It's because there's life in our words, and there's authority because we speak in the name of Jesus. And to release that anointing every time we pray for him, does so many powerful things in the supernatural we can't even imagine.
Yeah. That's why we're called to pray for those in leadership, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not according to party lines, not according to affiliation, not according to how we feel. But that's our call to obedience, our invitation, as it were, to impact history and those that God would bless or you know, exalt and promote or remove. We have an opportunity, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with that, I'd like to ask you to do your thing, Joseph.
Yes, please. You know, I want to read three scriptures before we get into it. One that everybody will know, but I like to come back to it because there's a promise here that is an absolute commitment by God. And if ever you've been inclined to be a world changer, if ever you've been inclined to want to be like those of old, whether in the New or the Old Testament, and want to be someone who impacts history, this passage absolutely is a commitment by God that if you'll honor him in it, he'll absolutely position you to be in that kind of a role. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And if we put that together with the passage, and I don't have the address for it, but the Spirit just prompted it to me. The Lord was speaking to prophetically about the Messiah, but it's accessible to us because those who call upon Messiah's name and are saved have access to his promises. We're co-heirs with him. The passage says, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. So this idea that he'll come and heal our land, if we'll obey him in what he said in this passage, it isn't just one land that we can bring healing to if we've asked him for the nations. We have access to change the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit operating through us as we would declare the word. The angels are even given charge concerning it. So with that, let's go ahead and we're going to pray for the reset of law and the impact that needs to happen as we've been seeing it. Those who have been walking in absolute corruption brought into judgment and justice and judgment, either to repent and have, see their lives changed and blessed, or to be removed, as it were, if they won't relent from the darkness they're walking in. So Heavenly Father, tonight as we come before you, we're grateful that the blood of your Son has been shed abroad, that there is no one who doesn't have access to it, its power to cleanse of unrighteousness, its power to heal, its power to deliver, its power for restoration. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We pleaded over this nation and over the nations of the earth, over this government and the governments of the earth, over the powers, Father God, that sit over the governments, the ones that aren't necessarily talked about or even of whose name we're familiar. But Lord, you know what's done in the open, and you know what's done in secret. And Lord, we are in agreement tonight for the reset of the rule of law. We're grateful, Father, for the move that you've been making, bringing those who have been doing heinous things in secret out into the light. Lord, we thank you that your word says the darkness is as light to you. The night is as noonday. And we thank you, Father, that nothing takes you by surprise. And we ask, Lord, tonight as we come together in agreement, Father, we acknowledge our own sins, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We acknowledge that there are weaknesses that we each are dealing with that when they are in their fullness, Lord. We struggle and fall short of your glory, but it's by that same blood that we each can have the righteousness of your Son in exchange as he's taken the filth of our sin and our corruption, so that we in Christ can say that we're no longer sinners, even though we sin every day, but we've become, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, the righteousness of Christ. Father, it's from that position as we would humble ourselves tonight, asking that you continue to cleanse us, continue to strengthen us, thanking that in our weakness you're strong, in our weakness your power is made perfect. That as we come in humility tonight, as we turn our faces to you, turn from our wicked ways, we'd ask that you would heal the lands, the nations, you'd heal the governments, you'd bring restoration where corruption and the delusion of it has overtaken the people, that you'd allow for the revelation of your Son to break forth like the noonday, and that his righteousness would be poured out, it would be shed like his blood abroad, that we would see the shifting of nations and governments, the shifting of the hearts of the kings, the magistrates, the presidents, those who are in authority, governors and mayors, of major governments and of local government, that we would see the hearts of men and women turned as the issues of law, the corruption, Lord, even where the constitutions and the legal documents that lands are run by have been inundated with false law, corrupt proposal and bill and ban. Lord, we'd ask that you clean all of it out, exposing it, its root, and the manipulation that's been used to execute illegal and false law across the earth, and that you'd implement once again the truth of your word, the truth of your Son, bringing that shift, that revelation, that breakthrough. We thank you for it. Father, we look to you and trust you for your word, that you are faithful to perform, faithful to do it, and commission the angels to go forth to war and minister on behalf of those who call upon your name and on behalf of your plan, your purpose, your blueprint for the earth. We thank you that Jesus has already overcome the enemy according to Colossians 2:14 and 15. He's disarmed the principality and powers, triumphing over in all of it. He's made a public spectacle of them. And we agree with you for that spectacle to be exposed as the enemy's holds and influence are undone. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before I make our final prayer of thanksgiving declared over this call and over our president and our land, I just want to very quickly let you know that you're welcome to join us on prayersfor45.com. It's a free membership site, and we would love to have you. You know that Scotty continuously tells us that it's organically being grown, and I just love that. I love that he uses that phraseology, because growing something organically just sounds so simple and clean and spirit-led to me. So I want to encourage you to share the site with our friends and your family and ask them to call in on the call, and I want to encourage you to continue. Even on the days that we don't come together and lift up our president, I want to encourage each of you to be mindful to cover him in your prayers, because we know that this is not red against blue or blue against red or even nation against nation, but that this is a spiritual battle that is between the pit of hell and everything that our God represents. And we know who wins the battle because we have the end of the story. So I just want to encourage you to cover our president in prayer and continue to cover our nation as it goes through the process of returning to the rule of law and as the financial accountability system continues to roll out. And with that, I'm going to say a quick prayer for anybody who might be on the call tonight who has some type of medical need. So if you're on the call, I'd love for you to reach your hand and just rest it if it's on your knee or maybe in your head or maybe a shoulder. Father, we just lift these cares to you, Father. We lift these concerns that we have, Lord, whether it's knees or shoulders, joints, Lord, or soft tissue, Father, or even bones, Lord, and we just lift those body parts to you, knowing that you care about us, knowing that, just like Pastor Joseph just prayed, it is your blood, it is your stripes that you received as you suffered for our sin and died and rose again from the dead, Lord. We know that it's because of that that we have victory over sin and sickness, Father. And so we ask that you would come and touch the sick, that you would, in your name, Jesus, heal, that you would heal these precious people on this call tonight, Lord, and anybody who would listen to the call in the days to come. This word is alive, and you can join in. If you're listening to the recording, I encourage you to receive this prayer of healing over whatever it is in your life that is going on. Father, we pray for eyes that need to be healed. We pray for any cancer, Lord, any cancer that is wanting to take root on any person hearing this call, we command it in Jesus' name to stop and desist and to be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us medical care, Father, that you provide wisdom through our doctors. And I ask, Lord, that you would allow those who have even had surgery today, Lord, to have supernaturally speedy, whole recoveries in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you're doing with that. And Lord, we are not anxious for anything. And we come before your throne bringing our supplications before you, Lord. Your word says that we don't have to be anxious for anything because we can bring all of these prayers to you, knowing that with a heart of thanksgiving, Father, there are so many things that we are thankful right now, Lord. We thank you for every single prayer warrior on this call tonight. We are so thankful for the prayer leaders and the prayer warriors who have come and been a part in the past, Lord, and for the ones who are here now and for the ones that are coming in the future, Lord. We thank you that you are calling people who want to pray and lead this call, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we are also thankful that because of your Spirit, we are unified. And we're not just unified in our homes, Lord, where we are with our families, Father, but we're unified because of your Spirit across this nation and around this globe right here, right now. We are so thankful for the privilege to call upon you. Thank you, Lord. We know that you have given us everything that we have. We're so grateful that you have poured out your blessing on us, Lord, that you continue to be who you are, our provider and our healer. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, we're so mindful that we need you, Lord. We need forgiveness for our sin, and we're grateful that we can be washed white as snow. Father, we thank you that you continue to heal our nation and that you're continuing to heal our land. We thank you that you have brought men and women on this call, that you have brought people to participate in this process of covering our president and our nation. We thank you for all of the character building opportunities that we seem to have on a regular basis, Lord, that continue to grow us into the men and women that you called us to be. We're thankful for that, Father. We ask that you would continue to allow us to be mindful every day of even the small things that we're thankful for, Lord. There are so many ways that we are blessed by you, Lord. There's so many things that we can do to show our gratitude by volunteering and volunteering our time and being a blessing to others, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. And with that, we give you praise. We give you glory. We declare great is our God. Great is our God. We exalt you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, as Scotty always says, go out and hug someone tonight and be a blessing and pass on a little gift of kindness wherever you are. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Have a good night. Bye-bye.